Welcome to the Voices of Legacy. This is Pastor Carl here at WGTE. We have a special guest in the building today, a true honor and privilege to have a Toledo legacy member, if you will, a legend, if that's not too strong of a title, none other than Pastor Celeste Mitchell. I call her Lady Celeste, lovingly. I've known her most of my life from a young age. I'm happy to have her here to discuss the legacy and the love that both her and her husband, Bishop Joseph Mitchell, share in ministry, in home, in life here in the great city of Toledo, Ohio. Good afternoon or evening or morning, whomever's listening to the Voices of Legacy. And good afternoon to my guest today, Miss Lady Pastor Celeste Mitchell.
Oh, God bless you. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks for the invite.
Oh, yes. Well, I couldn't be here and not invite people of influence that I know, and you're definitely one of those.
Thank you.
But tell us something about yourself.
Well, I'm old.
Well, there's a conflict now.
That was just for laughs, but it is the truth.
I'm not going to tell your age.
Good.
Okay. yeah, well preserved.
Thank you.
I wouldn't know it but to see it in front of me. But a little bit about your past and how you got to Toledo.
Well, I came here from New York. My
city,
sir.
New York City proper.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Right. My mom and dad had relocated here from West Virginia. Mm-hmm. They had been separated, got back together. Me and my mom were in New York for a while. Mm-hmm. When they got back together, she brought me back here. And that's how I ended up in Toledo.
See, I always thought you were from the South.
Well, I am. I'm from West Virginia. It's somewhat South. Mm, yeah. You see how I sound?
Oh, yes, ma'am. You don't sound like a New Yorker.
No, right. Well, I didn't live there a long time, okay. Just a few years.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that had to be quite a bit of change.
It was. I'm still getting used to Toledo.
Oh, wow.
It's very slow.
Yeah, it is. How long have you been here?
About 60-something years.
Oh, wow.
Mm. But we travel a lot, so that gives me a break, you know.
Mm-hmm. So your parents settled here in Toledo?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting to know. I didn't know that you lived in New York at all, and I've known you for a long time. that's awesome. So your experiences as a child in all of what you... Actually, there's a lot to unpack in exactly what you said, the separation and coming back together. How do you think that's affected you in your life?
Well, it's been a blessing, really. Mm-hmm. It was not a place I had aspired to come to or even realized it was a Toledo, mm-hmm. Ohio. And I often wondered why I was here, but all the good things that have happened to me mm-hmm. happened in Toledo.
Awesome.
My husband being one of those things. And the beautiful people that I've met. Hmm. So it's a beautiful place for residing and having family.
Amazing. Tell us something about your husband.
Well, I still love him, mm-hmm. and I like him. Mm-hmm. And that is not one and the same. You can love and not like.
Wow.
But I do. I was a person that was brought up in a dysfunctional home. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe I could be loved because I never heard the word love. Mm. And I'm getting to Joseph. When I met Joseph, he kind of stalked me. Not really. I didn't know it. His pastor told him about me. Uh-huh. And so he kind of followed me in a sense. I didn't know he was. Like he'd come to our church. He'd come by my house. I was, was single at the time. But what he was doing was watching me. I didn't know that to see what kind of church girl I was. Wow. I found out later, and I do find out that you all talk in increments. I didn't get this full story. It took me 50-some years to get the full story of how he met me, why he was interested in me. And the first time that he called me on my phone was to introduce himself and tell me who he was, mm-hmm. Deacon Mitchell, and he mentioned the church he went to, and he just announced to me that I was going to be his wife.
Oh, wow.
I had seen him, but I didn't know who he was.
So the first telephone call.
So I said to him, well, I don't know who you are, but you either crazy or you got a lot of faith. Now, to make a long story short, he started calling me. I didn't let him come to my house for a while. So he would just call me and introduce himself as Deacon Mitchell. He wanted to speak to Sister Mitchell. Hmm. That was not my name. My name was Terrell at the time. Mm-hmm. So he would make me laugh. So to make a long story short, since this is it's not this long to talk about that, by and by, after a while, after mm-hmm. him talking to me on the phone and he invited me to dinner and all that, in my mind, I'm thinking about this love thing. Mm-hmm. One thing I found out about people, things that happen to us in our lives, some of it is so traumatic that you kind of never forget it.
Yes.
And you kind of hold it mm-hmm. close to your chest and you kind of standoffish and you kind of unsure of yourself. It's a lot go with that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's the way I felt. Now, I didn't look the part. I look like I do now, mm-hmm. you know. But I'm interested, and my problem was what was going on inside. Mm-hmm. So Joe says to me one day, I'm gonna prove to you that I love you. Mm. Now, I was quiet at the time. I'm not now. He said he wished I was still that girl, but I'm not now.
I could never imagine a quiet Celeste.
I was quiet, introverted, low self-esteem, smiled all the time, stayed dressed up. Nobody knew what was going on inside.
Wow.
I was broken. Nobody knew that, but Joe did. He would talk to, I called it the little girl in me. He didn't know he was. But he would speak to things about me, to me, that impressed me and encouraged me. He didn't know that. So one day he just said, I'm a proof to you. I love you. And in my, like, the reason I said I was quiet is I kind of just always enter dialogue because I was always told as a kid, shut up. We're not interested. Be quiet. So that's why I was quiet, because I felt like nobody was interested in what I had to say. Mm. But what I found out, the reason for that, oftentimes when God is going to use you, the devil attacks the thing that God's going to use you doing, and which was talking, which was the last thing I thought I'd be doing. So this is all a God thing. But to make a long story short, is that in my mind, I said to him, I says, well, prove it to myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't say it out loud.
Tell him that?
No, I always talk to myself in a dialogue, still do. But I'm more outgoing now, as you know, because we've talked a lot. But that was my inner dialogue when he said that. Well, he did this, that. Mm-hmm. He still, put it this way, I'm more into seeing you love me than hearing that you do. Mm-hmm. Now, he keeps proving, not that he has to, but over and over again, he proves to me that he do care for me, that he do love me.
Until now.
Yes, until now,
wow.
55 years later, he's still doing, amen. I ain't finna do church.
That's all right.
But he convinced me that, he has not stopped. Mm-hmm. I think he thinks he's my daddy. Right. He tell me this. He said, well, I've known your dad. I've known you longer than your daddy have.
Oh, my goodness.
Which he have, mm-hmm. you know. So I thank God for him, and I appreciate him. And I let him know that.
We appreciate Joseph. Bishop Mitchell and his sense of humor is amazing. One of these days we're going to have to get him in here. Is amazing.
Yes, it is. He still tickled me.
Yes. There's been many times in my testimony, we've been in the pulpit.
He's very humorous.
Behind somebody speaking. And he'll say something that's absolutely true, but in the mannerism of which he says it, all the ministers are doubled over, and nobody knows why. People probably think we're hit with the spirit. It was Bishop Mitchell telling the truth. So you've been married to him for 55 years.
55 years.
Okay. Well, we're coming close to the revelation of that age of which you don't like. What's the name of your church here in Toledo?
Crusaders for Christ.
Oh, wow. So how long have you been in ministry together?
About 50 years.
Okay. Wow. Mm. So was ministry part of the initial coming together?
Well, both of us were saved at the time. Mm-hmm. We didn't know each other, but we got to know one another. Mm-hmm. But we became ministers in the church that we belonged to at the time. Mm-hmm. We were both ordained at the churches that we were at the time. And we did our first sermon together. Oh. Not that we were called together, but at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, some of my best memories, not that a funeral is a good, well, for us, it's not necessarily a bad thing for believers, but I've seen you guys tag team on funerals, and it is amazing. It's amazing to see. Bishop, this is something that I found out as I was doing my research. I've been calling him Bishop Joseph Mitchell for a long time, but mm-hmm. he was actually ordained in our organization, of which we mm-hmm. both share mm-hmm. the same organization, International Bible Way, back in 2014.
It was either 14 or 16.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we were calling him Bishop Mitchell before then.
I think they were calling him Elder. He was Deacon Elder, then Bishop.
What do you think you've learned from a lot of what you shared today, your background, some of the hurts and whatnot? Because we know that well, I know, and I guess the audience doesn't know, that you do a lot of counseling as well.
Mm-hmm.
Your background, it affected you to a place where you can actually share your testimony. Has that proven to be a benefit in your counseling?
Yes. It helped me to, all the things that I went through that I didn't understand, mm-hmm. even after being, we call repenting, knowing Lord as Savior. Mm-hmm. I still carried a lot of things that I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked God to, this is really helpful. This is correlating to what you asked me. Is that being that I minister, and seemingly, surprisingly, most of the time it's to men. Meaning this, mm-hmm. after they talk to me a minute or two, they want to call me mama.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I really care, and I'm interested in them, and I love them, and they know it like mm-hmm. a mama. And they initiate that. Can I call you mama? What I'm saying is this, they express what they feel on the inside and say, well, you know, yeah. I never told anybody this before. So what I'm saying to you is this, I found out, which I didn't understand when I was coming up, what an injustice. I was the only kid, lived in, with different, about 15 people in their homes. You know, well, we didn't have welfare. We just had the commodities. Yeah, you didn't get no money. Y'all don't know nothing about that. But anyway, all of these things that I experienced, even after coming to God, and this is one of the things that I minister most to people about when I'm counseling, is that whatever your position is in the Lord or even, you know, professionally, you still have that little girl and boy in you and those things that you hold close to your chest that you do not share, that some of us, it break us. Well, it was kind of breaking me, and I had been saved, I know, for about 30 years, you know, and I still couldn't get over what happened to me. Why did it happen? And me being an only child, why did the Lord allow me to be born to people that didn't understand how a kid, didn't know how to raise a kid, didn't know how to love? But I found out that you can get what you want if you give it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, and you also know what you want because you realize what you didn't have.
Yeah.
And you can put a name on it. You can say, if, you know, I wish somebody loved me. Mm-hmm. I wish somebody cared. I wish somebody would listen to me. I wish somebody had time for me. I wish my parents or whoever would be expressive to me. So partaking. So what you can do with that, you know how to share that with other people mm-hmm. because you know what that would feel like, even though you haven't experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
You know it would be a nice thing or a good thing or a pleasant experience. So in giving it, and that's what I do, mm-hmm. I give you what I didn't get, and I get joy from that. See what I'm saying? Because I know how that would make you feel. Because in my mind, I imagine how I would feel if I was treated that way. And then all these things in these homes that I were in, I'm an evangelist also. Mm-hmm. Meaning this, I don't meet no strangers.
Yeah.
It was my making. You know what I'm saying? Plus, thank God that the people treated me like a daughter. You know, I was not taken advantage of. Then I was, amen, glory to you. I told you I happened to go. I'll go there. Yeah. Anyway, I stayed under the adults in the home, and I just watched. So in watching families, that you know how families are, nobody's the same. So I learned a lot from that. And interacting with people, I learned a lot from that. So the thing that we sometimes think is a disadvantage is really your preparation. It's like a resume. You need experience.
Wow.
You need to know what the job is like. You need to know how another person feel. You need to know how to end. You don't know when you're looking out on the inside. Just like this issue, I'm having a little problem with my health.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saved a long time. And I've prayed for people. God done delivered them. And you know the story. Mm-hmm. How it go. But I was meaning this. This is still relating to what you asked me. I still, because I hadn't ever in my life experienced anything in regards to my body that helped me a while. Never. Because I believe God. I believe He can do anything. I have faith in God. You know how we do. Yeah. So, oh, man, I was a little, but I'm not understanding what to feel like on that, what that person feeling like. I was real, almost fanatical in a sense. Believe God. God is able. Trust God. Where your faith? Not that I'm fussing, but I'm like, He going to just do it. You know, get up out this chair. You know what I'm saying? The wheelchair, whatever. Not fussing or whatever, but in the spirit, me calling in the spirit. What happened with this? This experience that I'm dealing with now, I learned something. What I'm saying to you, everything that we experience, if we back up a minute and ask God, what you trying to say?
Yes.
What's the lesson in this? What am I to learn from this experience?
So that's a better prayer than to pray for or complain about not healing, to gain understanding in
that's
all you're
right.
getting.
I you know what? Yeah. I'm telling God, thank you.
Yeah.
I know now the internal mental fight that you have.
Wow.
What's going on with your trust factor when He don't come as soon as you think He ought to? Because He said He's a rat now, God, if you just ask me, I'll do it. What is it I can't do? Now, those are printed words, but those things have to be lived through. And so everything that I have experienced, the good, the bad, the ugly, I thank God for it because it has blessed so many people. They'll say to me, because like I said, I was very introverted. Nobody knew other than my demeanor and how I interacted with people. So they saw the difference.
Yeah.
So now they say, back when this happened years ago, when the Lord delivered me, meaning this, because it was so bad for me that I said to God, nobody knew this. My family loved me. My church loved me. My husband and my kids. But it was so rough, this fight in here, till I said to God, after about 30 or 40 years being saved, having the Holy Ghost, and see, I done found this out. You can have all of that, but you still got to deal with that natural man. You still got to go into places where you need deliverance and some help.
Yes.
Now, nobody knew that, and I smiled all the time. That was my cover. I said to God, I said, if you don't get this off of me, I can't get this out of my heart. I don't know how to change me. I don't know how to help me. I said, I can't do this no more. I can't keep smiling and hurting and wondering why. I can't do it no more. I said to Him, I said, if you don't get this out of me, I don't want to live no more. I can't. I just can't. I can't do it no more. What God did, He didn't do it that day. But through a process of time, I could feel myself being able to come out of what you're fighting quicker.
Wow.
I could see the growth. I could see the change. I could see He was helping me. And one night, this was like 3 or 4 months, because I would say to Him, I feel what you're doing. I am better, but it's not all gone. I want no more of this. It ain't all gone. I want it out. I had it so bad, if I saw somebody smile on TV, it would make me cry.
Wow.
You know, if I saw you happy, I said to Him, my joy ain't full. You know, He said, would that your joy be full?
Yeah.
I said, oh, Lord, other things is holding me down. It ain't full like you promised. I want it like the Bible said, and I don't, and I want that. You said you replace our sorrow with joy. I said, I want that. God delivered me to the point that I felt the expression of deliverance in my spirit, in my body, in my mind, in my heart. I said to Him, most of you know what I'm saying, but He touched me in my bed one night, and I could just feel the presence of the Lord. And when I stepped out of my bed, the Spirit of God, I couldn't shout at church. I'd just be sitting looking at people. I wish I could do that.
Wow.
I wish I was free like them, but I'm just smiling. When my feet hit that floor, I jumped around that bedroom. I said, how can I keep this? How can I keep this? He said, walk in the liberty wherein I've set you free, for you are no longer entangled with the yoke of bondage. Ever since then, the experience catapulted. It was more of an experience of greater than anything, even accepting God, it was greater than that because I was free. I said to him a few months later, I thought to myself, you can't get no better than this. Oh, I just felt so good. I could, anybody I saw in the grocery store, I could just go grab you. Just everybody, just is my friend. Everybody my cousin. You know what I'm saying? They'd be like, girl, I just love you. I'd be like, I love you too. I'd be like, I can't believe myself. I remember with Joseph, we was married for a long time. Anything he said, I'd be like, okay, all right. But when God delivered me, we were at Cracker Barrel one time. This was after, and he could say, that wall is purple. But I always talk to myself, and I say to myself, that wall ain't purple. That wall is beige. And then, but I'd be like, oh, okay then. Either way, look here. Pastor God, deliver me. We were at Cracker Barrel, and he said something to me, and just a conversation. And I looked at him, and I said, I don't agree. He said, what? He said, what happened to you?
You've changed.
He said, what happened to you?
Oh, my goodness.
I said, I don't know, but I like it. So a few months later, he said, oh, my. You done fooled around and got grown on me.
Oh, my goodness.
But, honey, ever since then, it's been a journey. Now, the last thing, after that, I was real happy in my soul and free as a bird in my spirit, and I still am. I can have church all by myself. I can be happy just because I choose to.
Yes.
Anyway,
Sunday,
one church, after this, all this wonderful stuff, at the altar before service, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what about my mom and dad? Did they ever realize how abusive, mentally, physically, verbally they were to me? Mama would sit me out with no clothes on in the snow on the porch. It was just, if I'd like to reach, he'd tear them up and burn them up. Just kind of crazy. I said, Lord, wonder, they both dead. I said, wonder, were they sorry or did they ever realize the things they did to me? He said to me, he said, let them go. I said, let them go. How you do that? I said, they gone. He said, now when I say that to people listening, it ain't like he stood in the middle of the room and we having a conversation. It's inner dialogue that makes sense. I says, he says, release them. I said, how to release them? He said, just forgive them. I says, okay. I said, Mama, it's okay. Mama gone, but God is real. And that, like I'm free now from that, but I've just wondered about that. And I thought when God blessed me that morning and continued afterwards that it couldn't get no better. When I said to him, I said, Mama, it's okay. I forgive you, Mama. You didn't have to say you were sorry. If I had on pants, I'd have jumped up from the altar and fell out in the floor like a roach. You know how roaches die like this?
Yes.
Both of your feet, both of his legs.
The Holy Spirit hit you like rain.
Oh man. I like Oprah, that ugly cry. I was so glad there wasn't nobody in there. I thought I felt like I could swing from the Oh, man.
Wow. But you were free.
I was like, it couldn't. I thought it couldn't get no better.
Yes,
it was the best experience of release I've ever had. So that is some of the things I did with people, bishops, people that travel over all over the world, people that just. I got a friend that if she walk in the room, everybody would stand up, cause she act like a celebrity, talk, walk, one real. But when they say talk to me, by me being vulnerable and transparent, they'll tell me that other side. And they're just like everybody else.
The truth.
The truth.
Yes.
They're just like everybody else. So they're comfortable with just telling me. Because I understand.
Yes.
I know what it feels like. And I know what God can do.
Yes.
And you don't have to stay in the place. You have to address it. This is one thing I say all the time. Knowing God is great, but there's life at the church.
Yes.
It's life when you go home. They are not one and the same. And so often, ministry, people, especially you all men, God bless your hearts, you get so caught up in the work of God that you don't have the it, and we know that you can only have so much of you to give. And if you deplete it and give it all to everything else, you ain't got much left. Mm. So as a result, do you realize our divorce rate is just as high as anybody else's?
Yes.
What I'm saying? Why? Because we don't understand the necessary. You married your husband or your wife for a reason. Mm. You know what I'm trying to say?
Oh, yes.
To be together with them, to be one, to be their confidant, to be to have a relationship, for you to understand me, for you to feel me, for you to be there for me, for you to love me, for you to appreciate for me, you to affirm me.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's why we got each other, that we got each other's back, that we care genuinely. When I say this all the time, just like we say as women, tell me you love me, tell me you grateful, affirm me, tell me you appreciate me. Mm. Tell me you want a kiss, tell whatever it is you want. Mm. We saying that to him, but I say to men or to the woman, say that to him.
Yes.
You ask it, you can get what you want from the man if you give it to him.
Yes.
If you say thank you, he'll say it back. Huh? If you affirm him, he'll affirm you. Because you make, my husband was contrary to the point that he didn't do nothing to get the house because everything was a woman job and a man job. Mm. That's for women to do. Now, what I did with Joe, Joe wouldn't bring you a glass of water. He was like, get it yourself. You got feet. But I understood his background. Mm. His parents were sharecroppers. Mm. They didn't. And he told me when we were recording, he said, Celeste, he said, I ain't got manners. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He said, but I'm going to do the best I can. I like that about him. He was transparent. Yeah. He said, but I'm going to give you the best of me.
Oh, he's honest.
He said, but I wasn't raised that way.
Yeah.
And I understood that when he was like that.
Yeah.
But what I would do, I would run his bath, salt it. I still do fix his plate, salt his eggs, cream in his coffee.
So you gave him what you would want.
Uh-huh. Mm. Everything I'm doing. And I didn't say nothing because I understood where he was from. But see, some women don't understand that. Mm. So as a result, they don't know how to handle that.
Yeah.
So what I would do is, I knew what, and it, another thing I found, you have to ask you all instead of tell you. Now that's a turnoff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you, and when will you do it, and why don't you do it, and why haven't you done it? Mm-hmm. Then you shut us out.
Oh, yeah.
All you got to say is, baby, bring me a glass of water. Okay. Thank you, hon. Mm-hmm. That's a directive.
I think
without thinking.
You're getting some amens on that.
Yeah, without thinking. He'll just say, here you go. And you don't have to say, well, it's about time. You finally brought me some. Say, thank you, babe.
Yeah.
Now, Joe, washing dishes, he said, I don't say nothing. You can't go like, well, I just smiled and said, thank you, Jesus, to myself. You know what I'm saying? But you give what you want.
Exactly.
And you get what, and you'll get it, and you'll get it back.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
That's
but
good stuff.
But the story goes on. But like I said,
that's good
God has blessed me. But I blesses him. It ain't one-sided.
Yes.
Like if I want a hug, I tell women all the time, you want him to hug you, go hug him. He'll hug you back.
Yeah.
You know, that's as simple as that. You want a kiss, get you one.
Yeah, kiss me. And
just prop your mouth up there. Just grab his face and kiss it. That's it. Yeah. And you got it.
Well, I think there's a whole lot of amens going on right now with our listeners. Well, we thank you so much for joining us today and sharing the testimony of your life, which is still going on. Mm-hmm. It's still going on. I think there's much to be done with that breakthrough. If you ever wrote a book, From Hurt to Help, I think would be a good title.
That's good.
Because you help a lot of people.
Yeah, yes,
you,
I do. I talk to a lot of people about it. You'd be surprised.
Because
I don't care what nobody look like, how they dressed up, the color they are, how much money they got. Mm. They got some stuff going on in here.
Yes.
And they have to be they're careful of who they trust their heart with. Even our wife.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all careful who you trust or what you really think to her.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't know if you can trust what's there with her. You don't want her to go tell her mom and her best friend.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing worse than weaponized
information. So y'all carry your stuff close to your chest.
Well, we do.
You know, and you're careful about who you share your innermost thoughts with.
That's true. Well, to wrap up our show today, and I'm so thankful again for you joining with us today. As you being here is like Joseph being here, who's still with us. He's just not in studio today. Being with us as well, we're so thankful for you both. Both myself personally and the community at large. Your church has done so much over the millennia, as it were, the years over on the east side. Now, one last question, and this one's going to have to be fairly short. I do apologize. Right. What do you think your legacy is, both of you, And what would you like for it to be?
That I cared enough to share me with people, anybody. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
To be a help to humanity. That's my legacy.
I like that. Yes.
You call me, I'm there. Mm. If you need a shoulder, you got one. Mm. You need an ear, you got mine. I wanted those things. I got it now. And but now I'm willing to share.
And you're giving it.
And I'm giving it.
That's amazing. Amazing, amazing. Good story. Yeah. Have a blessed day.
God bless you. Thank you for the invite.
Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.